Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
I got two dices
and I let it. Whoa, I'm
what? Now I know he was smelling that damn ear at the same time.
Hey, what's up, my baby bees? It's your girl B, and welcome back to B's Celebrity Truth or Dare. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I kind of like this new little setup a bit better than the whole green couch situation. Now, unfortunately, it's going to be a first time and a last time here because I am moving away from San Diego. Yep, the lease is up. You know what? That's kind of like life. Just when you get comfortable, life kind of just like pushes you in a different direction. So growing pains over here, growing pains. Anyways, your girl's coming to LA, no longer going to be doing this 3.5 hour commute there and back to the studio. Now, I should say 3.5 hours to the studio and 3.5 hours back. So it's like a 7 hour trip. Anyways, I would do it all for you. I would do it all for you like all the time. Okay. That sounds kind of weird. But anyway, so on this episode, we have the Kalen Allen. Okay. His story is so inspiring. It's like something from a movie. All right. Like just imagine this, like small town boy grows up different than everyone around him, makes people laugh as a way of like, listen, if I can make you laugh, you can't hurt me, right? We all have our own armor. He goes on social media one day, he starts posting these like food reaction reviews that are like hilarious. Everyone falls in love with him. He blows up. He gets flown out to LA to the Ellen DeGeneres show. And he was only supposed to be making like a little guest appearance, like, hi, bye, girl. Anyway, he secures himself like a multi-seasonal contract that he negotiated himself, by the way, right? Like no big team, no big money, nothing like that. And gets himself an office in the studio lot. Like, are we even understanding? Like, just like, this is what happens when you believe in yourself. You can blow down doors, okay? If you just start just challenging yourself, like, you know what? If I don't do it, it's always going to be a no. So why not just take the chance and just do it, right? Kalen's an inspiration. The conversation is so good. We barely got to start a game of Truth or Dare before our studio engineer was like, all right, your time's up. So this is a part one episode. Part two is coming out next. Okay. So I want you to sit back, relax, grab yourself a snack, put your feet up because you know what? You work too hard not to, and enjoy this episode of B's Celebrity Truth or Dare. Let's get to it.
All right, Kalen.
Hey.
B's Celebrity Truth or Dare.
Yay!
I'm so excited. I've been literally counting the days. I'm just, your energy is so infectious, like through the screen. And I just like, I don't know, I've been a fan of yours for quite some time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you.
I'm honored to be in the presence of a queen.
Okay, crown me, period.
Yes. So you're originally from Kansas City, Kansas.
That I am.
What was that like growing up there?
Well, the first question is, you live in Canada, so what do you even know about Kansas?
Okay, I know about Tornado Alley.
Oh, okay.
I know about the tornadoes.
Okay.
I know about Kansas barbecue.
Okay.
Okay, that's two things. I know about Dorothy.
Yes.
Okay, that's normal.
Click your heels
that's
three
click
times.
Click your heels three
yes.
times.
Yes.
But I think those are like the main three
okay.
things that I know about Kansas.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. Okay, well, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I was at the grocery store, and somebody was talking about my accent, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm from the country. And for some reason, a lot of Americans don't know where Kansas is. I guess they didn't take geography or something. But every time I say I'm from Kansas, they're like, oh, is that in the South? And I'm like, no, that's the Midwest.
Oh,
but like,
wow.
Yeah, because it's like the South is like Louisiana, Texas, like those states and coming up. But Kansas is the Midwest. It's directly
it's the middle of
right. That's
yeah,
why they call it the Heartland
yeah.
because it is in the middle of the United States. So, but I think what's interesting about Kansas City specifically is that it's very metropolitan.
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas City is also a very wealthy, wealthy city, you know. And so the way that it is marked up as though Kansas City is also one of the most segregated cities in the United States.
Interesting.
So, like, all the black people live together, and all the white people live together. And I grew up in Wyandotte County, which is one of the poorest counties of Kansas, but also the most urban. So all the black people live there. Like, when I talk to people and they're like, oh, I never had a black teacher growing up, I'm like, that was not my case. My first black teacher was my second grade year, you know? Wow. And well, actually, my first grade teacher was black. So, like, I was always used to being around black people.
Yeah.
While a lot of people did not have that experience.
I had the opposite experience. Mm. So growing up in Vancouver, Canada, mm-hmm. I was often, like, the only black girl at school. I did jump around. I bet there might be, like, one other mixed girl. Mm-hmm. But that experience is so different. Mm. And what's interesting is a lot of people don't believe there's actually any racism in Canada, but I think it's more not coming from the historical sense of certain parts of the United States. I think it might be more just like not knowing or not understanding black culture or maybe being influenced by seeing what they saw on TV through movies or music. So there's that layer of, I guess, just a perception of someone. So I grew up with sometimes having some problems with teachers and kids at school and having their fingers in my hair and just some issues that way. Yeah. But I always felt, my mom's black. So I had that connection.
Your daddy white?
My dad's white.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mom's from the Caribbean.
Oh.
So we don't.
Where?
Trinidad.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she immigrated to England. I was born there. So it's just a different culture.
Got it.
Different culture. So I might look like a girl that could be from like Atlanta, but I don't speak like one. And I haven't had the same experiences because everyone around me was white. For the most part.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up like out in the country, you know, with pickup trucks and it was a whole farming community. So it was a totally different experience for me. So how I connected with black culture was through my mother on the Caribbean side, but black American culture was primarily through TV, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, The Cosby Show, before we knew about Bill Cosby. But, you know, it was like Oprah Winfrey and just having, just looking at the stories and seeing things from that lens. So I love hearing everyone's experience, no matter what skin color or what nationality. It's like, what is it like being you? So, Kaylin, you grew up around other black people, but I know that you've come out as a gay man. And was that something that, like, your, like, when did that happen? Like, was, like, how was the reaction with your community? Like, how did you, like, when did you find out and when did you come out?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily like an, I would say not necessarily like not in an official way. I think the thing about me is I've always been who I am. You know, I am naturally as just myself, more flamboyant, more animated, a little bit more up in the light rather than in the darkness or on the ground, you know? And so it was never necessarily like a coming out like this is who I am. It was always kind of just like, I always considered that part of my life to just be a part of who I was. And I never saw it as like, well, people need to announce it or say it. And I kind of just stood 10 toes down in everything that I was, if that makes some sense, you know? So there wasn't really like a coming out. Yes, eventually there was like a formal saying, like a press release, but that was more so just so that there wasn't anybody questioning or wondering, even though I didn't think it was necessarily something that was like
a mystery.
You know, so but it felt like at that time, because and that was more so when I did have like a formal coming out, I was on my way to speak at a youth summit that was for queer kids, and I felt like I needed to come out more so for them, so that they knew that I was standing in solidarity with them and showing them that it doesn't matter when you come out, you know what I mean? Or if you, even if you feel like you don't want to or that you need to, you know, but it, I do think that it is liberating. I do think that you become a different person, because sometimes I always say it's like coming is not, not coming out is not for the people around. It's for yourself.
It's for you.
Yeah, it's for you. Yeah. It's more for you to come to terms with who you are and accepting fully who you are, because I believe that's the only way that you can really, you know, fulfill your destiny is if you are accept everything about you, flaws and all, so that you can become who you're meant to be.
They say know thyself.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
There you go.
Yeah. And you always do it whenever you feel like it is your time.
Exactly.
No pressure.
No.
No pressure with that.
No. Yeah. But I think it's scary.
It is scary.
Yeah, I think it's, I think that goes far beyond coming out. I think that goes with any type of person that has a big dream or an ambition. I made a video a couple weeks ago and I was like, this is for the big dreamers. You have to be prepared to be lonely. Mm-hmm. You have to be prepared to be misunderstood. You have to be prepared for nobody to root for you until it happens. Mm-hmm. And I said, and that's the price of a big dreamer.
Yeah.
Because what you are trying to accomplish, nobody else thinks is possible. Mm-hmm. And so you have to believe in the impossible, and you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. And that's the only way that you're going to make your dreams and aspirations come true. And you don't need the validation or the applause from somebody else to make that happen.
Amen to that. Isn't it interesting how people that are in your circle, sometimes in your hometown or friends and family, they think that it can never be you because they know you. Mm-hmm. Or like, let's say you've met someone famous or you had a really cool experience. They don't always believe you because it's like, well, I know you. So mm-hmm. there's no way that you know them, or there's no way you could do that. But they'll watch someone on TV mm-hmm. or look at someone on their phone. They have like they're mm-hmm. a complete stranger and they believe in them. Isn't that crazy?
Well,
Have you noticed that? Because that's just been my experience. And maybe it's just like too good to be true, or like maybe it's behind the, they call it the red velvet mm-hmm. curtain, like the people on the other side. Like, you know, maybe that's where that's coming from.
I get it. But for me, that was not my experience.
People believed in you.
Absolutely.
See,
like where I am today, if you ask anybody that knew me growing up, they would tell you that they are not surprised.
You see, this is that's like one question I had was, because I read up that you had this crazy amount of confidence mm-hmm. growing up. Mm-hmm. And that comes from someone, something, or people in your life that can instill that in you. Was it your mother? Like, who was in your life putting that into you?
You're not going to like this answer. But I truly believe that I was just born that way. I truly believe that there are certain people on this earth that are destined for something specific. And I believe that God, or whoever you believe is your higher being, mm-hmm. will give you everything that you need.
Right.
And I think the people that are truly meant to accomplish those things just move in those purpose. Like, I wrote about this a little bit. I went to see Cowboy Carter mm-hmm. and I wrote a review of the show. And I was watching Beyonce, and then I started to think of other people. I started to think of like an Ellen DeGeneres or Oprah Winfrey or Rosie O'Donnell or Michael Jordan or all these people that have done incredible things. Mm-hmm. And I said, there is no clocking in or clocking out when it comes to their purpose. They eat and breathe it. Mm-hmm. They wake up in the morning and they say, this is who I'm meant to be. And everything that they do is aligned to that journey. Mm-hmm. That is how I have always moved. Mm-hmm. Even as a kid, like there is so much now in my life that when I look back, I'm like, that was necessary
Wow. For
who I am today. And sometimes I get emotional. Like even last night, I was just like, the things you have done are not normal things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think you talked about like this confidence. And I think sometimes people get the confidence confused as like being conceited or being cocky. You know what I mean? But I don't think that I'm better than anyone. I think everybody on this earth has the same potential. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think it's more so it's like people, we live in a society where people thrive off people not knowing their worth. Mm. People benefit from people thinking small about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as somebody that already didn't check the boxes for what I was supposed to be able to be accepted into this society, I knew that the only thing that I had was my confidence.
Wow.
I knew that was going down. I think that's where the term fake it till you make it comes from.
That confidence literally blew down doors for you.
Exactly.
That's so interesting because I'm thinking about how my story in parallel to yours is like I dealt with things so differently. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it was just like my upbringing or some of my experiences. But I just remember when I was a child, I was always like a bit of a comedian. Mm-hmm. And then something happened where I know my parents split up and there were some issues and we went mm-hmm. through some really dark times. Mm-hmm. And I became incredibly introverted mm-hmm. to the point where I had such social anxiety that I couldn't even speak with like my friends. Mm-hmm. It got so bad. Like, you know how some kids are like, okay, they couldn't speak to adults, but they were still cool with their friends.
Yeah.
Like I was so afraid of not being accepted. My brain was like, okay, if you don't say anything mm-hmm. and you don't speak, no one will hurt you. Mm-hmm. You will not. And it's so interesting because like, there's some kids that have the opposite thing where it's like, if I'm funny, people will love me and they'll like me. And if I'm like the class clown and make the jokes and it's mm-hmm. like, that's your armor, mm-hmm. which I think is an easier path, to be honest, because you have more fun.
Yes.
And it's easier and people love you and you're, yes. you have, but it has to, like, as you grow older, it yeah. has to be rooted in something the right way. Mm. So you don't live your life trying to just be the entertainer and appeal to others
yes.
and become drained
yes.
and just dealing with those highs and lows for people.
Yes.
Right. So,
I mean, I feel like I struggle with that now.
Yeah, that's your journey, right?
Yeah.
And it's having the understanding of that, because it's like, it's almost like with your energy mm-hmm. that, you know, God or the universe has given you, we all have it. Mm-hmm. It's like a battery, right? Yep. So we have to refuel ourselves.
Yes.
Right. So yes. with me, when I was growing up, I was like, I don't want to be drained. I don't want to be damaged. I don't want anyone to harm me because yeah. I've dealt with harm and I've dealt with hurt.
Yeah.
So I just shut down.
Yeah.
Right. And then with you, you were extending mm-hmm. and trying to make people laugh
yeah.
and make people smile and love you. And so, you know, if they love me, then they can't hurt me.
Correct.
And for me, it was like, if they can't see me, they can't hurt me.
Mm.
That's the thing, right? So then I had to do a lot of work to try and undo all that. Cause I was yeah. like, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm locked in my own head and I don't like it here.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's why I got into acting. And I was like, you know what, if I can play a different character, this character, she speaks and she's a different, she's what I wish I could be.
Yeah.
Right. So in that challenging that, which it's interesting because there's something called exposure therapy. I didn't know that I was doing that. But when I was like 15, 16, going to these audition rooms yeah. and I was like scared out of my mind
yeah.
performing in front of people, that was yeah. training my brain that I can do something. And there was a reward at the end. If I did good at it mm-hmm. and I got the job, mm-hmm. my God, I get to be in a movie. Mm-hmm. I get to book a commercial
yeah.
and I get to push myself and train my brain
yeah.
to be comfortable that way. Mm-hmm. But the journey of being on the opposite side, mm-hmm. it's comfortable. When people love you and you walk into a room and you're an energy shifter yeah. and all your friends are like, Kaylin, mm-hmm. and you're like, they're fanboying, fangirling over you, mm-hmm. you still have to take time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you said about the whole confidence thing, it's mm-hmm. not being cocky. Mm-hmm. You're doing it because you've got a message to share
mm-hmm.
with people.
Yeah.
God has given you, God, universe, whoever you want to believe in, has given you a gift.
Yes.
And you must share that, but you also must take time for yourself.
Correct.
To preserve yourself.
Correct.
And know that you're doing it for the right reasons. I'm not doing it because you want people to love you, but because you love people.
Yeah.
And you love being you.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah. I mean, even with that, for me, at the end of the day, I've always... Like, the fame of it all, I don't care about. I don't care about the celebrity of it all. I don't care about the fame of it all. I don't care about the likes or the followers. It is always for me just being, this is my job.
Mm-hmm.
This is the job that I chose. And that's even how my mother explains it to people. Like when people ask her like, oh, you must think Kaylin is like doing amazing. And she's like, yes, but also this is his job.
Yeah.
This is the job that he chose. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of me that doesn't get caught up in all the, because if it was about fame, I think, one, I'd probably still be doing food reaction videos because that's what, you know, was always viral. Mm-hmm. That's something that I knew was always going to do great, you know?
Yeah, it was always going
to
hit.
Right, but the goal was never to be popular or to be famous. The goal was to create a legacy. A goal was to say that I did everything that I wanted to do, and when I leave this earth, I don't think of what I could have or should have or would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was, I don't think it's until now that now that I, you know, I just got my master's in journalism from NYU and like moving back to LA and leaving New York after doing Broadway and being like, well, you know what? I realized that I've checked off all the boxes of the dreams of baby Kaylin.
Mm-hmm.
And now the goal and focus is on what does adult Kaylin want?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like? And who is that person? And now as somebody that that used to love to do 50 million things at once, now I'm like, I just want one good job.
Yes.
I'm like, give me one good thing to do, and that is fine with me. I have accomplished everything that I could want.
Stability, please.
You know, so I'm stability. Like, I just want to wake up, go to work, come home.
Consistency, please.
That's all I want.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But even because, you know, we're talking about like even like riches and fame. Like my goal was also not to be like a multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need a big old mansion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm fine with just enough space for me and the dogs, you know?
Yep.
So it's like I think also when you want to be in this industry and you want to do this and you're talking about entertaining, yes, because you also got to realize is that when you start to work in this industry, you become more of a commodity now. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a brand. You're not necessarily a person, you know?
Yeah.
So you talk about trying to figure out, well, what does that entertainment look like as an adult? I think what I have experienced is that most people are more interested in the experience of me rather than who I am as a person, you know? And I also think they expect me to be like I am in a video all day long, every single day.
You get that when you meet people? Or yeah. Is that, okay, so they're expecting the online food reaction.
Correct.
Kaylin.
Yeah.
High energy, funny, on all the time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you're not going to get that out in the world.
That's not a real person.
It's
no
not.
One can be that way it's 100% not. Of the time. You it's, can be like that sometimes.
Yes.
If it's at a party and the mood.
But not even that, because I'm not a night person and I don't like parties.
Oh, so you're a granny like me.
Yeah.
We're in bed
rather be at
early.
Home. Yeah, I'm in
at
bed
home.
At 9 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, so I make it very public. I'm like, I'm not a friendly person after 9 p.m. I'm like, so if you're looking for me to be all up in the air and happy, you're not going to get that from me.
Okay, I don't know if this is just a me thing or with, like, my hubby, but when it gets to be too late, I start getting, like, noise sensitive. Like, I have to turn down the TV, the lights, like,
all that.
I just, like, I think I start powering down.
That's me. I start to shut down.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that's how I'm able to do what I'm doing, because I think because my content is so rooted in lightness that I need to be up when the light is out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm up every day at 6 a.m.
Okay, you're an early riser.
Yeah, I'm up every day at 6, and that's because I have from 6 to 9 to do, like, all the stuff that I want to do, like the errands and the chores. Then 9, start working, work all day long, you know, sometimes 6, sometimes 7, and then that way the evenings are just for me to sit at home, cook dinner, watch TV.
Recharge.
Yes.
Reset.
Yes, it's not spent on me trying to, like, go out. Now I got an event to go to, and even when I'm saying yes to, like, stuff and events, I try to, like, certain days. Like, if anything comes in on this day, like a Sunday, I'm not going anywhere on Sundays. Sundays is my day of rest.
Yes. You have to have at least one day of rest.
Yes. Yes.
It's there for
a
reason.
Don't ask me to go or do anything on a Sunday. Yeah. I'm at home doing nothing.
Yeah. Resetting.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about this legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're still finding that a little bit with adult Kaylin. Mm-hmm. But if we just did a quick little exercise, if you could think, let's say you're 80, 85, you got your dogs next to you, and you're sitting in a nice, comfortable chair, and you're reflecting on your life.
Yeah.
Everything that you've gone through, all your journeys, what do you want your legacy to be then? Because that's how you do it. You work your way back.
Yes. Well, it's funny. You talk about still figuring out. I think I pretty much know. But I would say that for me, I think I would love to bring integrity back to media. I think with the rise of social media, as somebody that has benefited from it, and the way that we have now become siloed in the way that we take in entertainment, I think we have gotten accustomed to it being quick and easy and not necessarily good. And I think we are mistaking popularity also as good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because something is popular doesn't mean that's good. Like, I was on a call the other day, and we were talking about, you know, like, influencers for a project. And somebody was like, well, we have a list. And I said, well, I need to review that list. And they were like, well, we have some people, you know, they have great following. I said, just because somebody has a great following does not mean that they are good on camera. You know, and I think that's the kind of stuff that I want to bring back. I want to build a media empire to where I am employing journalists to create some type of, like, news network or something like that that is rooted in the talent first and the popularity last. You know what I mean?
Telling real stories from real people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what made the Oprah Winfrey Show so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like, when I think about music, you know, and I was listening to some music and I'm like, listen to, like, these back and forth, like, even the people that couldn't sing were good. You know what I mean? Like, Britney's not the most amazing vocalist, but you listen to a Britney Spears song, you like, this is a hit.
Yeah, you feel the energy.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right.
It's like, but now it feels like as long as you get a lot of views or if it's popular, then you're like, oh, great, this is it. And it's like, no, you know, like, this isn't good.
Social media has created that with the numbers game. Yeah. They were always looking at record sales, but it was different. Yeah. They didn't have to just look at your TikTok or your Instagram to make a decision. They looked at, like, let me just listen to your record.
Exactly.
Is it good? Can you dance? Can you sing?
I mean, I struggle with that even with content creation. You know, it's like there's so much stuff that I'm like, well, this would be a better conversation and this would have a little bit more depth or would go a little bit further, but it's not going to perform well because people don't care about that. They just want to be entertained, you know? And so I think it's hard to find that balance between the two, to where how are you doing something that is meaningful, that is changing people, that is inspiring them, but also making it entertaining, especially when you're fighting against an algorithm that is always changing. That's why I always say, I'm like, I'm so anti-TikTok because it's like, you never know what's going to perform well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, it may do great over here on Instagram. You post on here and only 10 people saw it. And it's like, what do you want me to do?
Yes.
I'm like, I'm just doing what I know how to do. Like, playing this game is not... it's not ideal.
It's like,
you know,
cat and mouse. You're chasing this invisible thing.
Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell talked about it on, I had a podcast with Ricky Lake, and Rosie was on, and she talked about how her daughter struggles with it. Like, Rosie talked about growing up and being able to do comedy in a comedy cellar, and there was no phones. There was nobody to post about what they thought of your set. You know, it's so terrible. It's like, I feel like we were able to operate a little bit better when we weren't making decisions already trying to guess what somebody's opinion was going to be.
That's it right there.
But it was better when everybody's opinion lived in their own house with their own group of people and wasn't broadcast to the world and influencing how we made decisions before we even gave anything a chance.
You could just work on you, master you, and the people will eventually come.
Right. And by the time anybody saw you, you were already crafted.
Yes.
You were already put together. You had already made the mistakes.
You had a chance.
Yeah, but now everybody is forced to make mistakes in front of the whole entire world. Mm-hmm. And we've also gotten to a place of being so unforgiving or giving any grace to people to mess up, to make a mistake.
That's right.
And it's like, in what world are we punishing people from being human beings?
Mm-hmm.
And why are we allowing someone's mistakes to then dictate our overall, our entire view of who they are and how they operate?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without, I feel like we have completely removed this idea that nuance exists and can have some effect on how somebody moves and how somebody operates in the world and even how we take in information, you know? So it's like, yes, I may work on social media, but I don't live on social media. Like, I'm very much a person that's post and go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching the regular news and I'm watching TV shows and stuff like that. Like, my world actually exists outside of my phone. And most people don't operate in that space either.
Yeah. That's so crazy. It's so wild when you see someone rise to the top and then someone finds something from 8 years ago, 9 years ago that they said. And I understand that people do need to be held accountable for things, especially if they've not, you know, fixed it or addressed it. But to make up your mind about that person, I mean, obviously it depends on what it is. We're not talking about crimes here.
We're talking
about like a tweet that was silly, you know, and it's just... yeah, I don't think we have enough compassion for each other as humans anymore. And I think because social media is just so one-sided, you just get a perception of this person. And you can see the most perfect person, and they're not like that at all in real life to their kids, to their animals, to the people in their world. It is...
well, I think maybe that's also because it's like, for instance, like I know who I am today. It's like there have been probably at this point like 20 different versions of me. I have changed... even from like, for instance, getting back to LA and like I was driving over here. I used to live right down the street from here.
Yeah.
And I was driving in. I saw the old building. I was like, Jesus, I was a whole different person when I lived here.
What did you feel? Like there's just memories that came up?
A little bit of that. But just it's like you just think back and it's like you don't even realize how many different versions of yourself. And you're talking about like 8 years ago. Yes. Yes. Hold people accountable. But also realize is that somebody 8 years ago was... so different than who
all
they are today.
All of us were so different 8 years
ago. I mean,
like,
I think about this. Like, I remember back in, like, 2019, I had done this video with Mariah Carey. And then immediately after a day, it found some tweets that I made about Mariah Carey, like, years, years ago. Like, I was probably 18.
Yeah.
And when I read them, I was like, dang, that is crazy. Why would I say that?
Yeah.
You know? But it's like, it's because at that time, one, I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in high school trying to just get out. You know, like, that was like when I was probably like still figuring out who I was, wasn't really out, you know, to the world, and was still having to like assimilate while living in Kansas, mm-hmm. and then transitioning to college. Like, and I'm tweeting to like, at that time, like 200 people. Like, I'm like, I'm not tweeting to nobody. Like, this is like to my friends or people that see it. Like, I'm not thinking that years later
people are going to see
exactly
all this.
And it's going to actually have weight to it. You know, like, I'm just joking the way that you would probably be joking to your friend, but not actually meaning anything behind
it. You didn't think you were going to meet Mariah Carey.
Exactly. You know, and I, listen, I'm a lamb. I know every album. I'd have been to every Christmas show. Like, I love Mariah. But I also give myself grace for, like, adolescence, mm-hmm. you know, to be like, yeah, when you young and stuff, like, you're not making decisions. You're not thinking, oh, well, I better not tweet that because they're going to see this later on. You know what I mean? Oh. Like, it's just like you're just being who you are in that moment, you know? And now years later, I'm like, yeah, that was crazy to say that. You know what I mean? But I think that's where you learn. That's something that you learn to be like, well, yeah, your words matter. Mm-hmm. So, like, now I'm not, I may think something, but that don't mean I'm gonna go tweet it. Yeah. You know, I'll be like, no, don't tweet that because this is what, that's is how it's gonna come out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's growth. That's just life.
That's growth. That's life. And I think I've heard people talk about this with like going through teenagehood. Mm-hmm. Now we all, I mean, I had a phone at the time, but I had to actually go on my laptop to mm-hmm. type anything. It wasn't like, oh, I have a thought.
Yeah.
Let me just quickly write this out.
Right.
You know, it's just changed so much.
Well, it's funny going back to like me talking about this being a job, you know, people, especially in the content creation world, like the people that are most famous and have the most success are the people that share their entire world with the world, that their entire lives, you know, they drama, you know, they business, you know, what's going on. You don't know shit diddly squat about me. And I like it that
way.
I like it that way.
Yeah.
My life is my life. Mm-hmm. It is not meant for the world's consumption. Mm-hmm. What I'm going through with who or whatever is between me and them, mm-hmm. not the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in having to open up my entire life for that. I think that's why people, if something does happen or like, for instance, like for like people love to bring up like me working at Ellen, you know, or like they love to talk about like, well, how was Ellen really? Or like, what was she really like and stuff like that? Or they'll be like, well, where's your boss Ellen? As if almost, mm-hmm. it's almost like it's a gotcha mm-hmm. to be like, oh, well, you think you are being bad when you worked for Ellen. I'm like, that ain't got nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with you.
Like when people are like, well, where's Ellen? I'd be like, where's your former employer? I don't know. What, like, you think I'm our keeper?
Yeah.
Like, it's a job. Yeah. I went to my job, did my job, and I went home.
Yeah, you weren't telling Ellen up.
Exactly.
You're just doing your job.
Right. I'm like, she's not my cousin, you know? So it's like, but it's like people gravitate. Like they just are waiting for you to trip, to mess up, to fall, or they want to hold something against you. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, why do you care so much? Mm-hmm. Like, I used to get in trouble as a kid for being nonchalant, which I think is another reason why I was able to thrive, because it was very hard to get under my skin because I'm very hashtag unbothered all the time.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times when I see people have these like preconceived notions or they make up this stuff in their mind, then I'm just like, what was the purpose of that? You know, like, what are you trying to
accomplish? You're expending too much energy right now.
Exactly. Like, go do something productive.
Yeah, yeah.
And get off of my page.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a damn. I'll block you. You know?
Blocked.
Okay, and ain't got no problem. Not losing no sleep. I don't care. People on Facebook are like, I'm so sorry. I have to unfollow you now. Okay, there's 3.6 million other people here. Boo-hoo.
You're like, goodbye.
Okay, right. Next. Deuces.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it is. It's like, if you don't like it, just keep it moving.
Right.
That's what social media is. You just keep on browsing.
But that's what I'm saying. Everything is so based on somebody else's opinion.
Yeah.
Everything we do. Imagine how freeing it would be to just wake up and be who you want it to be.
And this is so new to us, too, in our, like, human evolution for our brains.
The state of the world is on my nerves.
Oh, my God.
I can't handle it. It's pissing me off. Like, what is happening?
It's crazy out there. But you know what? We're going to do something even crazier.
Yeah.
We're going to do a portrait challenge, Caitlin. Okay. Going to just talk you off the edge.
Thank you, because I was getting there. I was like, whoa.
I'm seeing your eyeballs red.
Right. I'm like, the weight of the world is really weighing on me right now.
Okay. I think the lesson here is that we need more human connection. That's what it's all about. Face-to-face, more conversations, and more empathy.
Yes, and take away all that other pressure stuff.
Get rid of the drama. Get rid of the noise.
Just show up as a human being unapologetically as you are, where you are in your life.
Yes.
Even though I know, Lord, we get so deep. I even say this when people are dating people, you know, and they talk about, like, their ex and something like that. Like, I don't think of anything that has happened in my life as a burden or that it happened to me because, oh, I was in a dark place. No, it happened because it was necessary for my overall journey. Mm-hmm. There was a lesson I was supposed to learn.
Yes.
And if I didn't learn it then, I was going to learn it at some point later on down the line.
You'll keep learning it if you don't get it.
So yeah. That's why you keep experiencing the same stuff, because you aren't learning in the moment. Mm-hmm. So you keep making the same mistakes, keep choosing the same type of man, ended up in the same situation over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, this is my last thing. We can get to the drawing, okay? I tell people all the time, for me, because people were shocked that I was moving back to L.A.
Really?
Yes, because I hated L.A. the first
time. Oh, because you said, I'm never coming back
to this place.
I'm
never coming back. I said, I'm never coming back. I'm moving to New York. New York's where I want to be. I'm staying in New York. Mm-hmm. While I was in New York, I started to get, like, these feelings. Like, I would drive somewhere, maybe a song was on, and I'd be listening to the song, and I'd be like, oh, that reminds me of this time when I was driving down the 101.
Oh.
You know, or, like, I would listen to something, and I would feel what it was like being in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I did Broadway and after the graduation, something in my spirit, and it actually had been cooking up for about a year, was like, you need to go back to L.A. Mm-hmm. I just heard it as a voice. Wow. That's all I heard. And let me tell you what the lesson is in this. Is after Broadway and a little bit before Broadway, work got really hard.
Mm.
There was no work coming in. Funds were dwindling down. I was having to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is happening? I've never experienced this in my life. There's no reason why it should be like this. Everything. I mean, I was firing agents because I think I went through two different teams because they'd be like, well, there's no work right now. And we're just saying we can do it. And I'm like, all these other people I know are working.
Mm-hmm.
How am I not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all this stuff that I've done, this resume I've created, you're telling me there's no work mm-hmm. in all these spaces that I've created lanes for myself, mm-hmm. right? Then I made the decision to move. I was like, something's telling me I got to go back to L.A. I knew I wanted my talk show. I said, I have to go back to L.A. I feel it. The moment that I had got to, like, the last month of the lease in New York, started to move, all of a sudden, work started pouring in. Then, when I got here, I got an offer to do a show.
What?
And then all this stuff just started to, it just started to just come back naturally.
It's like I'm not trying to be like a hippie or anything, but it's kind of like an energy flow.
Yeah.
When you're in New York, it was completely blocked,
yes.
shut down, nothing. It's almost like a, you know, the dam with yes. the water on the yes. other side.
Yes.
It was like,
yes.
nothing's yes. flowing,
yes.
no money's flowing,
correct.
No opportunity,
correct.
Nothing. And then you make the decision to come to LA yeah. and just like that.
But see, but that's what happens when you listen. Because the thing is, and this is why I say, this is why it needed to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that wouldn't have happened, I would have had no inclination of moving.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never left New York. Because why would I leave something that's working?
Yep.
So God had to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Had to put a pause on everything to be like, the only way you're going to make the move that I need you to make that's beyond what you think is right for you
mm-hmm.
is if I make what you think is supposed to work. Impossible.
Yeah. God has to make it so uncomfortable
yes.
that you are
that
like,
I have to move. Something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I did that and I listened and I was obedient and I paid attention to what was being told to me, regardless of what I wanted for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I did what I needed to do for the future self, you know?
And Caitlin, so now I love
that. I'm so grateful that like I listened to that.
Yeah. I almost want to cry.
I love that.
When people are following their purpose
yeah.
and your light is shining and it's shining bright
yeah.
and you're going to just, you've already, in your own way, you have just changed lives, even if it's just for 30 seconds, someone, you know, laughs and you make their day.
Yeah.
And there's people out there, I'm telling you, like millions of people out there that go to your page and they might be having a hard day or they're going through a divorce or dealing with loss and you make them smile.
Yeah.
That is a gift.
Well, that's the whole purpose.
Never lose that and keep on shining.
I love that. Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, let's get this drawing done.
Yay.
All right, we're going to do a 60-second portrait challenge. I've got yours.
Beautiful.
Okay. And I've got some little markers here. So I've got a black one for you.
Okay.
And then I got some different colors that we can use. I don't know if you want like any reds.
I need some pink.
You need some pink.
We're drawing each other, right?
Yeah, we're drawing each other. Okay. So I'm drawing you, you're drawing me.
Got it.
And then we'll swap and then you'll take mine home and then I'll take yours. I'll put it up in my office. I do that with everybody.
Okay.
Let's see. Do I? No. I don't think I need any different colors. Unless, yeah. This is.
How much time I got?
We have 60 seconds.
Okay.
So Eric's
going to
time it out. So you're going to.
Turn towards me a little bit.
So you can get the look?
Yeah.
Okay, you're mapping it out. Yeah. All right, hang
on a minute.
Don't start just yet. Don't start just yet. This is going to be so much fun.
Okay,
tell
me when y'all ready.
Okay. You just let us know, Eric, whenever. Okay. I'm just going to say this right now. I'm not the best sketch artist.
I didn't say I was a damn Picasso.
Okay, we're on the same page here. We're going to, that bar is going to be low.
Okay.
Okay, but.
Okay.
You mean a lot to me. I'm just going to say this right now.
Uh-huh.
You're very handsome.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to do my best.
Hey.
In 60 seconds.
I'm here for the call.
We're going to try.
Okay. Hey, ready?
Ready? Okay, go.
Go.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You got great eyebrows.
Oh, thank you. They weren't always... so great. I naturally have a bit of a unibrow. Thanks, Dad. And I went through this phase where I overplucked my eyebrows.
Uh-huh.
That was like the early, mid-2000s type of problem. Some people could go and do it. Like Christina Aguilera looks beautiful, but I don't have the face for it. And I would literally take a shaver and just go... like
really?
One of those like disposable shavers and just go straight in the middle. And you know, I'm talking too much. I need to actually quickly. This doesn't look anything like you. What am I doing?
Hell, yours ain't gonna look like you either.
Oh my gosh.
Don't worry. This look like any old mask.
Oh my goodness. Now I'm just seeing it right now.
Okay, we got a little. Trying to get your baby hairs in here.
Oh my gosh.
Now the hair gonna look crazy. How we doing on time?
Okay. Oh my goodness, this isn't
that's crazy.
Like you.
I'm like
this isn't the same person.
Hold on. Oh, we got a headband. Let me put the headband in.
Oh my gosh.
Put the headband in. Okay. And then we got a little hair.
Wait, I gotta get your ears. Oh my, I was gonna, you're not, okay. Alright, and oh, I have time. Oops, I'm getting marker everywhere. That's not good. Okay. My hands are so sweaty, I can't get it open. Okay. All right. What are we doing for time? Where we're at?
I think we're at time.
I think we're at time. I think Eric's being extra
now, for
generous.
Some reason, your eyes is closed on this, just so you know. I don't know why.
It's closed? Okay.
Yeah, I forgot to put an eyeball.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, I added it. I added your eyeballs.
All right, good. I got eyeballs.
Yeah, they kind of look kind of crazy, but hey, hey, there you is. Okay, that's cute.
Okay, I think we're done. I think we're.
Wait, I got to add your eyeshadow. Hold on.
Okay, you're going to do a little pink.
Yeah, I got to get the eyeshadow.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, there we go. A little pink.
Wait,
pink.
Hang on. Let me just add some nostrils. I'd probably use that. Oh,
yeah, I didn't give you no
that
nostrils.
Helps.
Don't be upset, though. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. Okay, wait, hang on a minute. I gotta work up some courage. All right, who wants to go first?
I'll show you mine.
Okay, you're gonna show me.
You ready?
All right, yeah. 3, 2.
I give you
one.
A princess.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you just raise that up a little higher
identical.
For the camera?
Identical. Look at you.
That actually looks like some abstract art. I can see it.
Like something off of PBS Kids.
No.
Very Between the Lions. Like Cyber Chase Arthur.
I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing some type of, like, very abstract, maybe tribal, something.
Tribal! Something. Crazy!
I think it's the length. You know, you said it was a mask.
Now, you know good and well, this look like when you watching a kid's show and they do the little commercial break and they had the damn preschoolers up there and they'd be like, can you draw your sister? And this is the kind of they be drawing.
It doesn't look like that. I'm seeing, like, some very, it's the pink. I'm not lying here. I'm telling you, it looks like some type of, you know, abstract art. I see it.
Well, I love that for you.
I see that.
Here, I'm going to sign it just in case.
Sign it. Autograph it.
Yeah, that way, if you want to sell it.
I'm never going to sell it. That's going to stay in my possession on my office.
See, I signed it.
Kaylin Allen right there. All right, I'm going to
Yeah, let me see.
This doesn't look like you.
Let me see it. What's wrong with my chin over there? What? Look at that chin. That chin way down there than the other side. That's what you think of me?
No, I don't.
That's what you think of me? You think my chin? Do I got a lump?
No.
Do I need to go see Dr. Pimple Popper? All right,
you know what it was? I think the microphone got in the way.
Okay.
But I think the main thing is that you look kind of Italian. Like, you don't look like you.
Yeah, that box head is crazy. Now, I do got some big ass ears, so that's good. Lips is red as hell. You got my ingrown hairs from my cheekbones on there. That's good.
I'm really,
it's cute, though.
It's cute.
I like it.
It's got, yeah.
I see it. I see the vision.
There is some vision there, but I just.
We got to just work on the chin.
You need some, like.
I look like I had a stroke.
Yeah, there's different, the eyes.
The right side of that face is, it's going through
there's
it.
There's definitely some different levels to the eyes and.
The whole face.
This doesn't do you justice.
This side of my face is gone.
You're way cuter than this.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I still think it's cute.
We should name him. Not like, what should we name him?
Kalidas.
Kalidas?
Uh-huh, Kalidas. That's what I see, Kalidas. Yeah, with a K, Kalidas.
Okay, Kalidas.
Yeah, that's Kalidas.
Not Colin or Kaylin.
Kalidas.
Okay, well, I've autographed it, so you can either burn it. Okay. Do a seance or.
I'm not going to burn it. Here you go.
All right.
Wait, don't we need to tear them out?
You can keep the whole thing if you want.
What?
If you like drawing.
I know that's right. Y'all said on the way up from San Diego, we're going to stop at this Michael's. We're going to pick up this sketch pad.
Try Amazon.
Oh, well, hey.
That order. Yeah.
I know. I was trying to figure out what this was a picture of on the front because it looked kind of like the Country Club Plaza in Kansas City.
Is that what that looks like?
A little bit, but I don't think that's what it is.
It's whatever it is. It's very pretty.
It is pretty.
Well, one last time, everybody. Bernadette over here.
There she is, baby.
There she is.
There she is.
I actually do like it.
You know what? I will say this. I think people that can draw, I think they have the greatest talent ever created.
It really is a special gift.
I think if people that are able to look at something and literally draw it, otherworldly.
But you know what? I feel that way about people who can really sing.
Really? I don't think so.
No, but that's because you can sing. That's why you're like that.
Yeah, but you can teach somebody how to sing.
Okay, we can also teach someone how to draw, but what I think is really neat is when people can sing, like, different, like, Christina Aguilera, they can sing different types of voices.
Okay.
And they can channel that and they can manipulate that. Uh-huh. That is a gift.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, how, like, their speaking voice doesn't sound like they're singing, but like a Christina. Like, how she manipulates.
No, I meant, like, they can go through all the different greats and sing just like that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
I've
okay.
seen that.
Like an impersonator.
And they can do like a whole range of different.
Like how Ariana Grande can do like a Celine Dion impression or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I love that. I think that's
love that.
That's super talent right there. Okay, so we're going to play a game of truth or dare.
Okay.
You ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. So, Kaylin.
Yes.
Truth or dare?
Mm-hmm. Dare.
Okay. We're going to start off strong.
Okay.
So I'm going to dare us to answer some questions.
Oh, okay.
And if we decide to skip a question, we have to do some sour candy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see.
Yep. Okay. So we have our little bowl here.
Okay.
Of sours. What's the dumbest reason you've ever ghosted someone? Do you have a story for that? Or is it going to be a candy?
That one's hard. I would probably have to say, like, I'm the type of person, like, you know, like, if you had dinner with somebody, you watch them eating, you'd be like, I don't like the way they eat.
That's a trigger for you.
Yeah. Mm. Like, it can be the smallest, pettiest thing.
Is it, like, chewing too loud and slurping, like, spaghetti?
Just, like, if you eating and you talking or, like,
just food
or,
like, out
people
of
that,
mouth.
Like, yes, or, like, people that will eat the whole thing and then complain about it just so they try to get it for free.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, mm-mm.
That you don't like that kind of dark energy.
Yeah, no, and I'm not a ghoster. I'm going to tell you what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to tell them and then you're going to ghost them.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, thank you so much.
Okay, I think I will answer this question. Okay. A little of a throwback.
Uh-huh.
This is like early dating years before mm-hmm. I met my husband.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been married?
I've been married. We got married this year, but we've been together for 11 years.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. But okay. So this was really funny. I went on a date.
Okay.
And this guy, he had really, really bad breath.
Ooh.
And he had this thing where he liked to lick like the ear.
What?
And the neck.
Girl,
that was too nice and to it, say it, anything.
Oh my God, too nice to say
and this. I let it.
Girl,
I'm
what?
Canadian.
Now I know he was smelling that damn ear at the same time. I know he was smelling that ear. It was like, that shit is funky and I need to go brush my teeth.
He was licking around the ear and the neck and the it was a whole thing. And basically, I remember, like, I went home and I was like, I need to immediately shower. Like, this is bad. So I never, ever spoke with him, talked to him ever again. It was too traumatizing. Didn't know how to deal with it. So, that's my ghosted story.
That ain't nothing but the devil.
I remember coming home because we have a SkyTrain, which is sort of like a subway in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I had the scarf on. I could just smell the breath.
Oh, that's nasty.
And it was all over the side of my head. Anyway.
Absolutely not.
Next one. Have you ever sent a risky text and immediately regretted it?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
You've never sent anything once.
And regretted it?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Everything I said, I meant it.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I meant it at the time. Now I regret it. That's kind of like early days. I would say like my teenage years.
Okay.
There were some things that...
It'd be like that.
It'd be like that.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, what's the most awkward date you've ever been on?
One time I went to this date, and we were at, like, a bar, and somebody came to, like, say hi. Someone was, like, visiting, and he went outside and got in the car and was, like, gone for, like, 30 minutes. And
what?
I was sitting there, like, what is happening? And I eventually just got up and left. Yeah, it was weird. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Did you guys talk after?
Yeah,
you know
he
what
messaged
happened?
Me after and was just like, oh, sorry, I hadn't seen him in a long time. We got to catching up and my mind just lost her. I was like, what?
That's weird.
I know. It didn't have the nerve to be mad at me and was treating me different like I did something wrong. What?
That's so confusing.
Girl, men are weird. Ghetto.
Ugh.
Wouldn't recommend.
Ugh. Have you... So when you get a good one, this is why I've been with the same one for 11 years. Because I know when you get a good one, you never let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever accidentally stalked someone too hard online and liked an old photo?
Mm-mm. No, because I got burner accounts.
Oh!
So when I do my snooping, you're not going to know it's coming for me.
Okay, oh my God.
Well... That's how you keep tabs on people.
You thought of everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm Olivia Pope.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't put that job on my resume.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want people to know all my business.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. I can find out some information.
Do you ever comment underneath other people's posts as, like, you are...
On the burner?
On the burner?
No, the burner never interacts.
Oh, okay. It just watches.
Yeah, because I don't want you trying to trace nothing.
Mm.
You know, because sometimes it could be attached to, like, phone numbers.
And they could try and tap into like FBI the numbers and you're like, I'm not trying to call any trouble here.
You would never know.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have you ever pretended?
I can't get this open.
I know you're prepping. That's actually smart. Uh-huh. Have you ever pretended to know someone famous just to seem cool?
Mm-mm. Because I actually knew them in real life.
Oh. Okay.
Check that, boo.
Check that.
I ain't got a fake baby, okay? Oh, no, that's right.
You know, I've never had to pretend, but I think I've had it where I actually was telling the truth and people didn't believe me.
You know what's so funny?
That's the opposite problem.
I was at Cowboy Carter the other day, the last show in Vegas, and so you know they got like the celebrity section.
Yeah.
So up there was Tyler Perry, Oprah, Khloe Kardashian, Kris Jenner, Chris Gamble. Ain't that what his name? Yeah. And then I think those are, and Gail. And I know Oprah, of course. And I've met the Kardashians like in passing. Mm-hmm. So I knew Khloe, and Khloe waved at me, but I was trying to get their attention so that I could go up there with them on the booth thing. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't see me because it was so many people and I was down there on the floor.
And you were waving.
Right.
Down.
And I feel like people probably thought I was like frauding, like acting like I knew them, but I know I was trying to get the hook up.
There is evidence of you knowing Oprah and having interactions.
Yes, there is evidence.
She gave you her blessing.
She did. I love her.
I love Oprah.
Mm-hmm. I want to try this.
Hang on. We're all in one okay. second. Okay, let's do one more. All right. Have you ever? Okay, what's the most embarrassing thing that happened to you on camera?
On camera?
Yeah. Do you have an embarrassing thing that happened to you on camera?
I feel like it wasn't that deep. But I would probably say we were shooting at Ellen, and it was with Marshmello and Kane Brown.
Okay.
And Marshmello had just released his own line of actual marshmallows, and so we were gonna make s'mores. And so we had this hot plate, and the hot plate kept cutting off during the shoot. Like, we're filming it. And so I had to keep like improvising, but it was like they kept laughing, and your Marshmello wear like a hat.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying not to laugh because then you would hear his voice.
Yeah.
So it was just a hot mess. It was embarrassing, but also great for TV.
For TV, yeah. Having to work under that pressure. Okay, I do have a little embarrassing thing. All right, I was on Riverdale. It was a musical episode, and I tripped over another actor's foot, like their shoe, because we were doing this like circular dance.
Uh-huh.
And then we shot this over the course of like 17 hours.
Uh-huh.
It was a whole thing, and he put his foot further out, because it just happens, and I tripped. And they had shot it from like multiple angles, and it was the same angle multiple times, and they went with that. Me tripping.
They kept it in there.
They kept it in there. But you know what? I actually loved it because I became a meme momentarily within the fandom. And it was, I owned it.
I love that.
It because you know what? It was like, it's all about making the audience laugh.
Right.
Yeah, you just have to own these things when they happen, and it's all about the experience.
I always think that the best times in lives are the unexpected things.
Yes,
That's what's the most fun.
And you have to own it, and you just work it.
Yeah. I live in the chaos.
We didn't have any candies. You know what?
We're
going to try one anyway.
It says on here that it is dangerous.
Yes,
it says hazardously, yes, I know how to talk, sour candy.
Mm-hmm. Read the disclaimer. Why can't I get this open?
No choking. Choking is possible. Okay, let me see.
You're right. This is really hard to open. Okay, I got it.
This ain't that bad.
See, you probably have a really good tolerance. The lemon one is actually kind of nasty.
Ooh, hold on.
It does get more sour.
Yeah, but it's not terrible. Ooh. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Is it stinging? Is it burning?
No, it's just nasty. When's it turning sweet?
Like in 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
You can go gradual. You can start with just like a little lick, a little taste.
Oh.
You can suck on it.
There we go. Sweetness came.
But you can't swallow it though.
Well, it's kind of hard to swallow. I got to chew it, don't I?
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, something hit you. Mine's sweet now. You're not sour no more.
You chewing on it. Wow.
I'm already eating it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost out of time. Let's do a truth question.
Okay.
Actually, I know I'm not supposed to be the one to tell you that, but we're almost out of time.
Okay.
Okay. Did Ellen ever give you advice that stuck with you? Something that you can still hear in your head today?
Yes. I think this goes back into the confidence of it all. My second appearance on the show, she came up to me and we were on the set, like, so people could hear. And she came to me, I think it was during rehearsal. I was guest hosting, guest DJ. She came up to me and she said, anything you want to do, just tell us and we'll do it. Oh. And I think that let me know that anything I wanted to do was possible.
Mm-hmm. She gave you full creative freedom. Absolutely. In that moment.
And the stuff we did there, remarkable.
Yeah.
Like, we shot an episode of my digital series in Australia.
Oh, yeah. I like, remember seeing
that. Yeah, like, that was the kind of stuff that I was doing there. Like, wouldn't trade it for the world.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. And you did, what was it, like 3 or 4 years?
I was there from season 16 to the end, which I think 19 was the last season. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I love your story with, like, how you got all that and how that all happened. I love that. Yeah. So, I wish that we had more time because I had all these questions. And with the
I guess we got to do a part two.
We have to do a part
two.
We'll
be back, y'all.
Oh, yeah. You're coming
maybe
back.
Maybe in San Diego.
No.
Oh.
We're here for you.
Okay.
I'm going to do the 3-hour drive no matter what.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, vroom, vroom.
And
hey, they're supposed to be building a train.
I heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
They should get on that. If they had a speed train, I would love that.
Yeah.
But I have something really special for you.
Ooh.
I've got a friendship bracelet.
Ooh.
And I'm welcome.
Is it rainbow because I'm gay?
If this is rainbow. I picked this one out for
you. Because I'm gay. You picked the rainbow
one.
Well,
I thought that it would mean something.
Yeah, that's what straight people always do. Straight people, they be like, you're gay, here's a rainbow.
Hang on a minute.
Do I like the damn Skittle?
Hang on a minute. If you don't like the rainbow, I've got one that looks just like mine.
I want the one like yours.
Okay. It's all about you. So this
is,
I'm welcoming you into B's friendship club.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You know I was straight people. That's why I don't like straight people to try to hook me up either. They be like, oh, I got a friend for you. And then you go look at the friend and it's a carbon copy of me.
Oh.
I'm like, you think because I'm gay, you just found the first gay person and was like, oh, you should date. Straight people
honestly,
love that shit. They love to do that.
I could not imagine dating someone who looked just like me. That would be too much for my
but
brain.
That,
I can't even
it'd
handle
be
me.
Than just looking like them. They act like me. It'd be like a spit image. They don't. Straight people do not give a damn. They'd be like, you gay? Oh, well, they gay too.
Oh my
well, y'all
God.
Should be gay together. That's literally what straight people do. Just like, I know you said, oh, rainbow. Kaylin, gay.
Oh, my gosh. It was coming from a good place,
it's
I promise.
It's okay.
And I thought that it would mean something. I
that's
brought
like
backups.
Me. That's
I brought
like me learning that you Canadian be like, oh, let me go to Ralph's and get her some maple syrup.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that. I love maple syrup. Hook me up.
That is funny to me.
Yeah, thank you so much,
thank
Kaylin.
You. I had a good time.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Is it stinging? Is it burning?
No, it's just nasty.